Thank you, Lynn and Yvonne. Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Becky and I are going to be out the next two Sundays. We're going to Mississippi to check on her dad and mom. And then on to Atlanta to see my brother, my only brother, who's having a milestone birthday. Jack Benny's age. 39 plus. And he's not taking it well, so. Today we're going to ponder, what was God doing and why did he choose Mary to do it? So at your tables, let's discuss, what do you already know about Mary? What do you already know about Mary? Ready, go. Okay, Linda, you go first. What did you say? She was very young. Okay, what else do you know about Mary? She was a virgin. She was obedient. Sorry, what? She knew the Word of God. Yeah, the Magnificat. Yes. Mother of God. Sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yes.
She'd been raised right by her mom and dad.
Yes. Yeah. All right, anybody else? Ordinary. Yeah, she was ordinary. She was engaged.
Mm-hmm. But God had it planned from the beginning of the earth.
God had it planned from the beginning, yes. She was a teenager, yes. Okay. Yes, daughter of trades. Most people believe she was 16 years old when this incident occurred. And Gabriel appeared to Mary and made the announcement that she was going to be the mother, as Pat said, of the Son of God. Yes, 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 yes. Mary's in the lineage of David. Very good. All right. Great. Train up a child in the way that he should go. That's right. Yeah, she didn't understand it. That's right. Didn't understand the angel's greeting. Okay. Now, somebody said she was a virgin. How could it be possible that she's going to have a child? She's a virgin. Yeah. I mean, she's about to be married to this man, Joseph, that we talked about last week. And as we're going to see, the angel says the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the Most High will overshadow you. Of course, Mary had no idea how this was going to happen, but she was going to have to deal with a much bigger problem. You know, what was Joseph going to think? We talked about Joseph last week. How was he going to react to the announcement that his fiancée is suddenly pregnant and he's not the dad? Now, she probably knew that he would be skeptical. I mean, she's got to come up with some type of plausible explanation for all of this. And we talked about this last week. According to the law of Moses, what would happen to a woman who was found to be committing adultery? Stoning. Yeah, stoned to death. Okay? And even if they didn't stone her, she would be shamed and her children would have to bear the brunt of this shameful act for the rest of their lives. But whose problem is this? It's God's problem. Yeah, it's God's problem. All Mary has to do is worry about what she's going to do. Okay, because it's God's problem. And as we're going to see in just a moment, she says to the angel Gabriel, "I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." And that was that. All right, so point number one, God entered human history through human flesh in Jesus Christ. God entered human history through human flesh in Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, let's pick up at verse 26. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her." So at this point of history, God enters human history. The child was to be born of a woman, fully human. The child was also to be born of God, fully divine. The mystery of Jesus Christ is present at the moment of conception. He is God-man. Now, too often we get hung up on the doctrine of the virgin birth. How could such a thing happen? How is it possible for a virgin to become pregnant? This happens as a normal human experience, but we often miss the real point. The miracle of the virgin birth is a deeper mystery than just that. What I want you to really focus on is that God enters earth in the form of an infant. Now, if you were to carry that to its fullest extent, God himself stooped down to our world and entered it on a human level. It's more than just an embryo being implanted in a woman. God himself is now present with us. You see, God's in the creation business, isn't he? And this grand miracle here is God entering human flesh. When God took on human flesh, he did something equivalent to what he did when the Holy Spirit hovered over this watery chaos in the beginning. And God simply spoke, and the world became into existence. That's really not much different than what he did when the Holy Spirit impregnated this young girl. A new creation has begun. Now, Luke 41:46. This is the Magnificat. Now, as I read this, I'm going to read this to you. I want you to make notes and discuss this at your table. Everything that Mary believed about God, according to this passage. Verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of this servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one who has done great things for me, holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Okay, so at your table, what does Mary believe about God according to this passage? Ready, go. Thank you. What does Mary believe about God according to this section of Scripture? Okay, what say you? God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving. Great. What else?
Well, being a God of mercy, she talks about mercy and merciful a number of times in there, and really probably not understanding yet that her glory will be the one that gives mercy to all of us.
Yes. Yes. God is merciful, the Son of mercy. Yes. Yes, sir. God wanted to honor her and knew her heart. Very good. All right. Yes, Yvonne.
My soul magnifies the Lord. That means that it was a personal relationship.
Yes, she had a personal relationship with the Lord. Knew Him intimately. Okay, what else? What else?
She said He is holy. She recognized that He is altogether
holy. Yes, God is holy. Yes.
God keeps His promise.
God keeps His promise. What else?
She gave herself totally to God's will.
Gave herself totally to God's will. Yes. Anything else? Causing Savior. Yes. 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 Yes.
God chose her.
She was surprised God chose her. Yes. Very good. All right.
Why don't you just move and let Him have
Yeah. Yeah. Substituting next week. Yes.
One thing that strikes me, I've spent 30 plus, I like the plus, years in the classroom. And I've met a lot of 15, 16 year old girls in that period of time. A lot.
Yeah.
And, either they grew them differently back then, or now I will say that one thing about 16-year-old girls, something there's a lot of naive about so many things that they accept things sometimes just this is the way it is, you know. And sometimes, you know, I think the older we get, then the more analytical we become as far as believing and accepting. So I have met some 16-year-olds that just in their innocence, you know, especially if it was a boy telling them something, that they would trust and believe. But the maturity, you know, so I think God had to search a long time, you know, and like somebody said, it was His plan from the beginning. He knew that Mary wants to be like that. But this song, there is actually a song that's called Mary's Song that's pretty much taken from this scripture. And it just points out so much of, you know, as theologians believe that she was 16 but had the maturity and the mind to fathom things about God that many 60 or 70, 80-year-olds can't fathom. So I think that there's this level of maturity that could only be God-given.
Good. Thanks, Mary. Level of maturity. Okay. Yes?
Just looking off the subject that was in the scripture reading, it jumped out to me. And I couldn't help but think about Sal and Joanne and some of these that are going through the times right now. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God.
That's right. Nothing is...
We point to things, we think, well, that's not going to happen.
Right. Right. Oh, ye of little faith. Yes,
Beth. Yeah, I find it interesting that she also acknowledged the fact that God wasn't, I mean, He was merciful, but He also had to judge on people that didn't have the pure heart and didn't want to follow Him. She was aware of the two sides.
Yeah, mercy and judgment. Yes, mercy and judgment. And we don't like to think about the judgment side of God, do we?
No.
No.
When did she tell Joseph
She tells...
After she comes back from Elizabeth.
When she comes back, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. 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 And we'll come to Elizabeth in just a second, too. Actually, we'll come to Zechariah, because I want to point out something about Zechariah. All right, point number two is that God chose Mary to carry out his plan because of her receptivity. She was receptive. All right. Again, God is entering human history. He is beginning a new creation. This does not have any precedent. This has never happened before. God's going to save the world. In view of the job description, what kind of person would he be looking for? What kind of person would he be looking for? What kind of qualities would Mary need to have? Now, I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 11. What was Mary's reaction to Gabriel? What did she say? Yeah, but what else did she say, though? I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Yeah, how can this happen? But I'm your servant. Now, an angel also appears to Zechariah. I want you to look at the difference. Look at verse 11. This is John the Baptist's father. Okay? Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. You see the difference? You see the difference between the two appearances here? Angel appears to Zechariah, he's startled. Angel appears to Mary, she says, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Okay? Zechariah's terrified, but his niece is not. Mary seemed able to accept what she saw. She was open to be spoken to by God. She was therefore also open to bearing God's Son. Now, so it must be for us today. When we receive the Word of God, it must be, it's something that happens to all of us. All of us need to do is to receive it. So we just need to receive it. The doctrine of the virgin birth says Jesus came from above, not from below. He comes and he came because of God's will and not our own. Now, when we want to get something done, what do we say? What's a phrase that we say?
Take charge.
Lord will.
You ever heard, don't just stand there, do something? You ever heard that said? Don't just stand there, do something. Okay?
I've often wondered, do you think, she was obviously raised, somebody said raised right and raised with the scriptures, but she had to know the prophecy of Isaiah. I mean, I've often wondered at that moment, did that prophecy enter her mind when the angel appeared to her and said what the prophet Isaiah said?
Right.
I mean, did she have time to think that and process that?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't just stand there, do something. Okay? But God, when God wants something done, he says, don't just do something, stand there.
Amen.
See the difference.
Yeah.
Now we cannot make God happen in our lives. We cannot bring new life. We can only receive it. Jesus said the Spirit of God is like the wind blowing. We can feel the effects, but we don't see it. God's Spirit cannot be controlled. It cannot be predicted. The best we can do is just keep our sails pointed to the wind, so we can just ride along. Now, at your table, discuss this. How can we be more receptive to God? Ready? Go. How can we be more receptive to God? Okay. All right. How can we be more receptive to God, Doug?
Not in response to that question, but a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Mary's song. At what stage of her life would you say that?
At what stage of her life? How old was she? 16. Yeah, 16.
But look at all the things that the verse says. How did she know all that?
She trusted the prophecies. Yeah, she trusted the prophecies.
And you read all these things that she said. That's what the Lord did.
Yeah.
She was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time.
She all of a sudden had knowledge of all of
it. That's right.
Even while the child was in her womb.
That's right. That's right. Another miraculous thing that's going on here. Okay? How can we be more receptive? Prayer and studying the Word of God. Okay, what else? Yes, Mitch. Good. Meet needs that are evident. All right.
Those of us that have problems,
yeah. Do you have a controlling issue? Let go and let God do what He wants to do. Okay.
We need to have the attitude of Isaiah, like I think Mary did. Here I am, Lord, send me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the simple answer is just, you know, God make me more receptive. Yvonne? Expect God to speak. Yes. 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 Yeah, be humble before God and be obedient to His Word. I know it. I love it. Okay? Being receptive is something that we can't make happen on our own. We have to ask God to make us more receptive. It's a gift from God. If you're willing to let God do the creating in you, then ask Him to do it. If you're not sure you're willing to do that, ask Him to make you willing. Okay? Yeah. Secondly, if we're to become more receptive people, we don't need to be interrupted. Because God cannot be scheduled. We figured that out, haven't we? You know, God has His own timetable, okay? If your whole life is scheduled, you're going to be finding yourself waiting a long time for God's will to speak to you. Because the other thing is, God is not confined just to Sunday mornings, okay? What do, though? We come on Sunday morning to get filled. And as a good friend of mine said, you know, we never exercise our faith Monday through Saturday. Yes, ma'am?
Well, Mary, I suppose, was alone. She wasn't, you know, and that
he spoke to
her. So she set herself apart. Or the angel
decided
that was the time
that
she was focusing on Him.
Yeah, yeah. Focusing on God, okay. And then what? Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, the Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Larry and I were to program, and I'm not sure of this, but Larry and I were to program one of the Sunday school classes Friday, and here was Peter Long and his wife sitting across the table, and here he was not saying anything, but I'm thinking it's almost a demeditation. You know what? If you find yourself doing this, just praying that relationship, I mean, we've got to keep our eyes on the road, but there's a communication. If we're walking with Him, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You find that too, don't you? And I think anyone really sees there's that communication. Now, I'm not saying we don't sin. Devil's all are throwing darts at us there to get our attention. Excuse me for talking so much.
No.
But I think that pray without ceasing is really a tremendous thing.
There are three C's to prayer. Okay. Number one is communication. Communication. Okay. God just wants to communicate with us. All right. Now, the second C is conversation. Conversation. You can talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. If you're angry, tell God you're angry. Okay. He's not sitting up there going, "Oh, I didn't see that one coming." Okay. Talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. Okay. And the third is communion. Communion. That's what praying without ceasing means. You're in a state of prayer being prompted to pray for things as you see them. Okay? You come up, you're driving down the highway and you see a traffic accident. You pray for the people that were involved in the accident. You pray for the first responders. Okay? And and Mitch, this is where the practicality comes in, because Jesus said we also meet God when we meet other people's needs.
That's very true.
See?
Very true.
Jesus said if you're feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, you're doing it just as you were doing it to Christ.
Okay.
So when we minister, we are also having communion with God. If we don't have time to minister, then we don't have time to be receptive to God.
We look for things and we look for Him and we expect Him to do things differently than what actually happens. I heard a song. I'm not a country music fan. Yes, I live in Texas, but I was in the car this week and there's a song called "Christmas Guest," Reba McEntire. Anybody heard that? Need to go try to Google it or something. Called "Christmas Guest," and Reba McEntire does it, and it will touch your heart. But it's talking about the man had a dream, and God appeared to him and said he was going to come. His family was gone. He was alone, and friends came by, and he was cleaning and decorating the house and told them that he had prayed, and Jesus told him he was coming. And he waited all day, Christmas Day, for the Christmas guest. And of course, Jesus didn't come, but a beggar came with no shoes, and he gave him shoes. And then a lady came who was cold, and he had three guests that day. And so as he went to bed, he prayed, and God told him, "I did this with you three times." We don't expect God the way He, it'll touch your heart. Don't find that time with guests. But that's what it reminds me. Mary didn't expect God to come using her.
But we need to. Yes, ma'am.
I sort of have a testimony. I don't think I've ever shared it. I shared it with my family and stuff. But I've been a single parent for like 20 years. You know, my son's older now. But I remember one time the pastors had went to New York and they were witnessing to people. But the Holy Spirit came to me in the middle of the night and told me to start praying for these people. First I thought, my God, what's going on, you know? And I was having all these bad dreams that this demonic stuff was around me. You know, for 2 days I could not hardly sleep. I had to pray day and night. And when they came back, they said they were under attack because they were witnessing to people on the street. And it's weird because I'm just a single parent, you know. And He can come as long as you're, you know, just praying and all the time staying in His Word.
Right. When God wakes you up in the middle of the night.
Amen.
And you can't go back to sleep.
There might be a reason.
Don't count sheep.
Right.
Talk to the shepherd.
Yeah.
Right. Point number three, God chose Mary because of her humility. Gabriel said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now this is what's troubling Mary, because this is a very exalted salutation. Why should she be spoken to with those words? Now, later on, Gabriel explained to her what's really going to happen. You're going to conceive and bear a son. At the risk of not only losing her reputation, but losing her life, she only responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." You see, with Mary, everything is directed away from her and to God. God dwells with the humble. Some of you talked about Mary's humility. Now, only mothers know what I'm about to say here, you know, because mothers spend their entire life putting themselves second. You put the child first through carrying the baby, you know, raising the baby, and all that. Moms put themselves second because their whole body has to adjust to childbearing, because from the moment of conception, her body is not her own. And that's a letting go of your personal rights and giving to the rights of the children. It means stepping back and in effect playing second fiddle to the child. Number four, God chose Mary because she was a servant. God chose Mary because she was a servant. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Her body, her reputation, her future, all of this was on the line. And even though she had not planned this for herself, she received the message from God as the awesome task of giving her body to bear the Son of God, and she would do it, as one of you said, obediently. Now, if you and I receive the same type of instructions for God, from God, what is he expecting from us? Same thing. Obedience. Now, Everett Koop, you remember him, the former Surgeon General? He was a great outspoken opponent of abortion, if you remember his life. And he encountered this mother and father who had a severely handicapped son. And he asked them, what is the worst thing that's happened to you since this son has been born? And the mother replied, well, Paul had to have 37 operations to correct his disability. That's the worst thing that's happened to her. And he said, well, what's the best thing that's happened to you? Having a son, Paul, and having 37 operations. It's all about how you look at it, isn't it? Okay? It's all about how we respond to what God is asking us to do. To receive God's gift may mean that he's asking us to be a servant. So don't worry about what God wants you to do. God wants us to do his will more than we know it. Worry instead about whether you'll be able to do it when he shows it. Because it's the readiness that God wants in all of us. It was the servant Mary that set herself apart to make it possible for God to do what he wanted to do. And in between the lines of all this story is something that's quite interesting to me. The whole lot of human history hinges on the response of a 16-year-old girl.
Amen.
Yeah. Because I think about Gabriel. I don't know if angels are nervous, but here's Gabriel, the angel, nervously wondering, what's she going to say? What is she going to say? Yeah. Now, how would it be if all of history depended on what we would answer? It's a lot of pressure, isn't it? It's a lot of pressure. Would we be willing to say, Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant. So what can we learn from Mary? What can we learn from Mary?
Faith.
And obedience. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life and the witness of Mary. And may we all be found obedient. Help us to find at least one good quality in her life that we can apply in our life. Lord, when you say to us, do this, help us to say, yes, Lord, I am your servant. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, next week you have a real treat. Jim Haynes is coming to teach. And then Dr. Graham will be following him. So you'll have two great teachers. We have our backup. We have our bullpen over here.